This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Thank you. Weather changes are causing some interesting market fluctuations. Market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman, went over what we're seeing in the grain markets this week and what we could expect to see in the near future.
Well, this is a trade now in a transition year, trying to determine whether the last of the crops are going to get planted. As we approach the end of May and the forecasts start to peer into the early days of June, the biggest concerns are in the northern belt, the area that has the shortest growing season of all. As we look at the crop data progress for U.S. overall that came out from USDA on Monday, it showed that we're basically on pace or pretty close to it for all the crops. But yet when you look at corn planting progress, in Michigan, only 29% of the crop in the ground, 53% of Minnesota, 17% of North Dakota, 36% of Wisconsin. They've got a long ways to go. And so we're going to be squeezing the window pretty close with some implications for acreage and for the production overall for the crop to come. Then you weigh that against the fact that the weather pattern overall, though, for the crop that is planted looks pretty favorable. So are we going to be short on acres but then have high yields, or will we get the acres in and have high yields and have a surplus? What's it going to be? And so I think we're going to see some uncertainty in the market. We've taken a lot of premium out of the market in recent days, and we're due for a bounce, and we're starting to see that bounce as a result following USDA's crop progress data that came out Monday afternoon. But I think we need to be cautious about saying that just because we're bouncing, it's going to be sustained. Typically, when you get this first bounce after such a big drop, that bounce is traders are looking to sell that bounce.
The growers are already short on time for planting corn in these northern states. What does that mean for the soybean crop?
Well, and that's why we've seen some of corn and soybeans going in opposite directions at times. Now, on this Tuesday, as we talk, they're both going higher today, but in recent days when the thinking was, oh, the corn is going to get planted, we saw soybeans going higher because of fear that they were going to lose acres to corn. If the corn doesn't get planted, then that probably means more soybean acres. And here again, both corn and soybeans are in a situation where, depending on the acreage you get in the growing season, we could end up with a big, massive surplus pressuring prices to lower lows for this coming year, or we could end up very tight once again and sending the prices right back up to levels we saw two, three years ago. The odds are right now that the greater risk is to the downside because of a favorable weather pattern, but there's still a lot of unknowns, and traders who understand chart signals better than they do supply and demand fundamentals, frankly, are a little bit confused, but leaning toward the bearish side, even as the prices are higher this morning.
All right, and it is nice to see a nicer weather forecast in the future. I know in northern Illinois we had snow on our corn at the end of last week, and that was not fun. It's rebounded, but that was still not fun to see.
It isn't fun at all, and that just is indicative of the problems we've had with cold soils, particularly north of I-80. For much of the Midwest going across, and it's been very slow to warm up. Finally, we are getting those warm soils. We finish it with the snow, and then we go to warm soils. And the good news is that we are looking at warmer than normal temperatures across many of these areas over the next 2 weeks, between normal and above normal temperatures. We do have a fairly open window for these delayed areas for the rest of this week, but unfortunately the showers come back then for the 6 to 15 day period.
How optimistic are you that there's going to be a lot of planting going in during this week? Do you think that it'll be enough to put some of those northern states back on track a little bit?
Well, if you look at similar years, which our partners at Commodity Weather Group did, where we had similar delays in these areas and a similar type of weather pattern, they found that we still ended up with a loss in acres. So you put it all together, and we're probably going to lose 5 to 10% of the corn acres and spring wheat acres in Minnesota and North Dakota. So far, the trade has basically been saying, oh, if we lose the acres there, we'll probably gain some acres in states like Illinois that have been well in advance of their normal planting pace, at least for the bulk of, for the state as a whole. And so they're not too worried yet at this point. and I think I'd be cautious about reading today's strength, reading into that, that traders are all of a sudden worried about having a short crop this year.
Again, that was market analyst for Water Street Solutions, Arlen Suderman. The Illinois Department of Agriculture released the weekly crop and weather report yesterday afternoon. Rains and cool weather slowed planting last week. Statewide precipitation averaged 1.87 inches, 0.8 inches above normal. Temperatures averaged 54.6 degrees, 8.3 degrees below normal. Corn planting increased to 84% complete, ahead of the five-year average of 73%. Soybean planting progressed to 36% complete, slightly ahead of the five-year average of 32%. Oat and sorghum planting progressed to 86 and 13% complete, respectively. Winter wheat headed reached 50%, behind the five-year average of 67%. Topsoil moisture was rated at 6% short, 71% adequate, and 23% surplus. Subsoil moisture was rated at 3% very short, 19% short, 68% adequate, and 10% surplus. Winter wheat conditions were rated at 2% very poor, 7% poor, 29% fair, 45% good, and 17% excellent. Pasture condition was rated at 1% very poor, 4% poor, 34% fair, 44% good, and 17% excellent. That's all for part one of this afternoon's farm show. Stay tuned for part two coming up after this. Morgan's Meat Market, a Mattoon, Illinois establishment, has recalled approximately 216 pounds of uninspected ground beef products. Under state and federal regulations, meat products produced without the benefit of inspection are considered unfit for human consumption and are required to be recalled. The Illinois Department of Agriculture discovered the potential health hazard during an investigation that is ongoing. Meat and poultry inspectors also determined the products included in the recall were not produced using mandatory hazard analysis and critical control point plans, a systematic, preventative approach to food safety that seeks to eliminate risks from biological, chemical, and physical hazards in the production process. The Illinois Department of Agriculture has received no reports of illness due to consumption of these products. Anyone concerned they may have contracted a foodborne illness should contact their health care provider. Products subject to the recall were sold at one retail location in Effingham, Illinois. They bear the establishment number 516 inside the Illinois Mark of Inspection. For further information on the recalled products, consumers can contact the plant's representative, Charles Morgan, at 217-234-4949. The Illinois General Assembly doesn't have much time left in session. President of the Midwest Truckers Association, Don Schaefer, went over a few changes he expects to see that will affect motorists, starting with the potential for a ban on requiring the amount of tickets police officers need to give out.
Well, we've got 2 weeks left in the General Assembly. Legislature is supposed to be done on May 31st, which is a week from Friday. During that time, of course, we got Memorial Day, so that means we'll have, one fewer day in session, maybe. But we got to cram a lot of stuff into a short amount of time. The big thing about this legislature has been that they've been talking about making the temporary income tax permanent. They've talked about doing all sorts of crazy tax ideas. So they've kind of stayed away from any other controversial issues. And from our standpoint, they've stayed away from this whole idea of the motor fuel tax issue. And so we think, well, they aren't going to do that to everybody before, but when they come back and after the election, that may be a different story. They're dealing with other bills, too, though, that don't have anything to do with taxes. There's a bill out there that's moving really fast. It's amazing how much support this bill has. And it's Senate Bill 3411. Senate Bill 3411 basically says that it would outlaw the requirement that law enforcement officers be required to issue a certain amount of tickets each month. No quota. Law enforcement will tell you, oh, we don't have quotas, but everyone else will tell you, yes, they do have quotas. Many in the law enforcement community say they're opposed to the bill because they feel that quotas do serve as an indicator of performance for a certain officer. So those guys are admitting, yeah, we do quotas. On the other side, you got people who just say, you know, there's no quotas, but officers are expected to be able to, you know, to enforce a law, and there's plenty out there to do. What none of them are saying, though, is the fact that the police, you know, community, you know, they depend on the tickets for money. You know, for they need that money to fund their salaries, police cars, everything else, the operations of the police department. So, you know, they're going to go out there and they're going to issue citations. But what this bill says is that you are not, you know, there should not be any set quota. So, in other words, no hard numbers. You got to come back with, you know, 60 tickets a month or what have you. So, and it's a good bill. Bill passed, flew out of the Senate, and now it's in the House, House Transportation Committee. They passed it out, and this is, you know, it's been a lot of contention in the legislature this year between the Democrats and Republicans. But this bill, boy, both Democrats and Republicans got on it. They like it.
So. Nobody likes speeding tickets, so I'm sure not allowing there to be a required set amount that you have to give out every year, I'm sure that would garnish some support.
Yeah, that makes everybody happy. You know, another bill that we're watching is a House Bill 4065. This bill has a life of its own, is the best way to put it. It basically allows any city or municipality to use automatic speed cameras for enforcement. Previously, I mean, the bill right now, only the city of Chicago can utilize these cameras. The bill has had a lot of debate in committee, and the bill has been changed many times because of the fact that a lot of people see it only as a money-making scheme for local governments, and that, you know, they really don't serve. It's like the red light cameras. This is a speeding camera. And that, you know, they see it as a money-making scheme and nothing else. You know, the bill does have some merits, though, is that it does say, it, you know, they would use them around schools and around parks and things like that. And from a safety standpoint, you know, it probably makes sense. But the fact is that there's a lot of contention about, you know, how far out you put these things. You know, do you how do you let people know that there are cameras out there? Because that's the big gripe about people with the red light cameras, and that red light cameras cause more accidents because of the fact that people are slamming the brakes on when they get to intersections. This bill, you know, also we don't like the bill from the trucking standpoint, because the cameras don't take a picture of the front of the vehicle, they take a picture of the back of the vehicle. And that's one of those where, hey, you know, we've got a trailer that we may be pulling for somebody else. And so when the guy who owns the trailer might get the ticket for the speed camera, and he said, I wasn't using that trailer then, so why should I get the ticket? So, I mean, there's a lot of things to be debated out there, and a lot of issues out there. And people just, you know, are saying that, you know, is it government overreaching itself in terms of trying to raise money?
Sounds like fundamentally it would be a good idea. Make sure people are driving at a good slow pace around mm-hmm. schools or parks or anything else where there would be children present. But yeah, I can understand a lot of the issues floating around with it.
Yeah, and I mean the big thing is that they, you know, it has to, you know, if they, you know, they've amended the bill so many times, and so we'll see what happens. I mean, right now I'm not saying it's fairly innocuous, but it's a bill that a lot of people, you know, just don't like because they've known the experience with the red light cameras, and that the speed cameras maybe fit in that same category. But again, we'll see what happens. The bill may move, may not.
Again, that was President of the Midwest Truckers Association, Don Schaefer. That's all for this afternoon's Farm Show. For WSMI, I'm Angela Besh. Thanks for tuning in.